Yesterday I had a opportunity to get up early in the morning and make bread. And I had planned to have it all done by noon. And like bread typically does, it had other plans for me. And I managed to get done by one. So we were kind of late getting to the Warfels house. That's because you're dealing with leavened bread, yeast. And it takes time for yeast to percolate and grow. When Lot had men come to spend the night at his house, he didn't have time to wait 3 or 4 hours for things to percolate and grow. He had a feast that he wanted to give, and so it mentions in Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, and in verse 3, yet he urged them strongly, so they turned aside and entered his house, and he prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. They didn't bother with the leavening. It was flat cakes, flat bread that they had, because there was just not enough time. And when Israel had to leave Egypt, again, there was just not enough time for them to prepare bread for their feast and to leave and be packed and ready to go at the same time. So in Exodus chapter 12, and in verse 8, it says, they shall eat the flesh, and the same night roasted with fire, they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat it, any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roasted with fire, both its head and its legs, as long as its entrails. You shall not leave any of it over until morning, but whatever is left of it will be burnt in morning. You shall burn it with fire. You shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hands, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now, typically in those days, they used sourdough to build their bread. But in this case, they didn't have time to mix the sourdough and let it go percolate through the rest of the dough. And down in verse 34 of that same chapter, it says, so the people put their dough before it was leavened, with their kneading bowls around bound up in cloths on their shoulders. They just carried the bread with them. They didn't even bother getting it started. They didn't know where they were going to camp that night. And down in verse 39, it mentions, and they baked the bread, the dough which they had brought out of Egypt, into cakes of unleavened bread. For it did not become leavened, since they were driven out of Egypt and could not delay, nor had they prepared any provisions for themselves. So they had mixed the dough, but they just carried it with us, and they got what they got, and they ate that. This idea of being in a hurry becomes an idea of being freed, because they were slaves in Egypt, and they got to leave Egypt. And so unleavened bread became a reminder of the fact that they were freed from Egypt. And to commemorate that bread, as was written, read by Chris in Exodus 12, 14 to 20, that becomes then a reminder of the fact that they had left in a hurry to go to the land of Egypt. And as they left, Moses reminds them again in Exodus 13. Look at verse 3. And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out from Egypt, from house of slavery, for by the powerful hand, the Lord brought you up from this place, and nothing leavened shall be eaten. Don't eat leavened bread. This is to remind you that God delivered you suddenly, quickly. And down in verse 6, for 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten throughout the 7 days. Nothing leavened shall be seen among you, nor shall any leaven be seen among you in all your borders. You shall tell your sons on that day, saying, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came up out of Egypt. And it shall serve as a sign to you on your hand and as a reminder on your forehead, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth, for a powerful hand of the Lord brought you out of Egypt. Therefore you shall keep this ordinance at its appointed time from year to year. Every year they were to remember, God freed them from slavery. Suddenly, quickly, unexpectedly in a sense. Even though it was talked about. Pharaoh kept saying no. And all of a sudden it was yes. And this was something that was important to remember. Even 40 years later, just before Moses dies, he has a reading in Deuteronomy chapter 16. And in verse 3, he says, you shall not eat leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat it with an unleavened bread, the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, so that you may remember all the days of your life, the day when you came out of the land of Egypt. For 7 days no leaven shall be seen with you in all your territory, and none of the flesh which you sacrifice on the evening of the first day shall remain overnight until morning. You were in a hurry. You were in a rush. You eat unleavened bread to remember that, what had happened to your ancestors and how you became a nation and got freed. But leavening also became another symbol as well. There were many times in the tabernacle that God said, when you do certain sacrifices, you can't use leavened bread. Take a look at Exodus chapter 23. Exodus 23, and look at verse 18. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, nor is the fat of my feast to remain overnight until morning. Almost the same rules for this feast. God says, if there is a blood sacrifice, you can't use leavened bread. And that also appears, by the way, in Exodus 34 and verse 25. It's repeated. Now, this morning in our class, we mentioned Exodus 29. Take a look at it, Exodus 29 and verses 1 and 2. It says, now this is what you shall do to them to consecrate them, to minister as priests to me. Take one young bull and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, and unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers spread with oil. You shall make them of fine flour. When the priests were set aside, when they were dedicated, nothing that they were using had leaven in it. And when grain offerings were offered in Leviticus chapter 2, Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 3. The remainder of the grain offering belonging to Aaron and his sons, a thing most holy, of the offerings to the Lord by fire. Now, when you bring an offering of grain offering baked in an oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers spread with oil. If your offering is a grain offering made on a griddle, it shall be a fine flour, unleavened, mixed with oil. You shall break it into bits and pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. So again, another offering that was used, it was unleavened bread. And now in verse 11, no grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven. For you shall not offer up in smoke any leaven or any honey as an offering by fire to the Lord. God's very specific about this. And those cakes that were made and the bread that was made without leaven, those were things that the priest ate in the holy place. So if we go to Leviticus chapter 6, Leviticus 6 and verse 16, what is left of it, Aaron and his sons are to eat. It shall be eaten as unleavened cakes in a holy place. They are to eat it in the court of the tent of meeting. It shall not be baked with leaven. I have given it as their share, my offering by fire. It is most holy, like the sin offering and the guilt offering. Every male among the sons of Aaron may eat it. It is a permanent ordinance throughout your generations. From the offerings by fire to the Lord, whoever touches them will become consecrated. That's interesting. Normally you don't say that anything that you touch becomes holy. But in this particular case, these were holy implements. The bread itself was considered holy in Leviticus 10 and in verse 12. Then Moses spoke to Aaron and his two surviving sons, Eleazar and Ithamar. Take the grain offering that is left over from the Lord's offering by fire and eat it unleavened beside the altar, for it is most holy. You shall eat it, moreover, in a holy place, because it is your due and your son's due throughout the Lord's offering by fire, for thus I have been commanded. Actually, when you go through the Old Testament, the only offering they were allowed to use leavening in was in the peace offering. And that was one that was shared between families and friends in Leviticus chapter 7 and in verse 11. Now this is the law of the sacrifice of the peace offering, which shall be presented to the Lord. If he offers it by way of thanksgiving, then along with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, he shall offer unleavened cakes mixed with oil and unleavened wafers spread with oil and cakes of still well stirred with fine flour mixed with oil. With the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving, he shall present his offering of cakes of leavened bread. Of this he shall present one of every offering as a contribution to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offerings. So there was leavening used for what was ate between friends, but not anything that was offered up to God. And so because of that, the lack of leavening became basically a representation of holiness. Something was missing, and that was the lack of sin. Leavening became a representation of sin. So like, for instance, Jesus, now we jump all the way to the New Testament. Jesus in Matthew 16, basically, almost out of the blue, they're discussing that we don't have any bread. We didn't bring some for the trip. Jesus suddenly tells them in Matthew 16, verse 11, it says, how is it that you do not understand that I do not speak to you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. See, those two sects were not teaching true religion. They weren't following after God's words. They were leading people astray. Their teachings were like leavening. Now, obviously, false teachings are unholy. They don't follow after God. But Jesus uses leavening as a representation of it because that's how false teaching spreads. It's not obvious. It's not direct. It kind of subtly creeps in and spreads rapidly underneath the covers, in a sense, around a congregation. And it's quite far-reaching. This is what they have to be aware of. The teachings of these groups are going to be subtle. They're going to spread quickly. They needed to be aware of it. After all, it only takes a little bit of sin to spread. In Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You don't have to put a whole lot of yeast in dough to get the whole thing to become filled with yeast. A little bit of starter mix will get the whole thing going. Paul uses that same illustration to say why sin has to be dealt with in the church. in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 6. Oops. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and starting with verse 6. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as in fact you are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also had been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We can't have sin in the church. It needs to be cleaned out. Otherwise, it's going to spread. Otherwise, it's going to infect everyone. And in that passage, he says, Christ is our Passover, which then becomes an interesting point. Because when Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, the meal that we just partook of, it was during the Feast of Unleavened Bread that it was instituted. In Mark chapter 14, Mark 14 and verse 1. Now the Passover and the unleavened bread were 2 days away, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking now how to seize him by stealth and kill him. Jumping down to verse 12, on the first day of the unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was being sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And then jumping down to verse 22, while they were eating, he took some bread. And it has to be unleavened bread because it's the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take it, this is my body." And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he gave it to them and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. I truly say to you that I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." Now, I want you to think about this. We went through a bunch of different verses about the Old Testament. We don't live under those laws. But do you remember the repeated rules that we just read that said when there's a blood offering, that there cannot be any leavening offered with it? See, leavening represented sin. And uncleanness. Blood is where life comes from. And it was being offered to ask for the forgiveness of sin. It doesn't make sense symbolically. You take something that represents life and forgiveness of sins and mix it with something that represents sin. Leavening. The two symbols can't be mixed. The reason why we use unleavened bread in the Lord's Supper, which is a memorial of Christ's shed blood, well, it has to have unleavened bread with it. But it also said that Jesus is our Passover. He is the Lamb that died for our sins. Take a look at John chapter 1 and verse 29. This is John the Baptist saying, "The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Jesus was our Passover lamb in that sense. He brought us freedom from sin. In Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." By his blood he bought us freedom from sin. And like the Israelites, we use unleavened bread to remember our freedom, not from Egypt, but from sin. Now, when Christ was sacrificed, as was mentioned when we were partaking of it, his body was broken. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, depends on your translation, but 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 24, it says, when he gave thanks, he broke it, that bread, and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We break the bread to remember that Christ's body was broken. And with his blood, we then enter the holy place. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. Not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood he entered the holy place, not once for all, or once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Well, Jesus was without sin. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. You've been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. The bread represents Christ's body. But Christ was someone without sin. Leavening, though, has been used as a symbol of sin. We use unleavened bread because it better represents Christ, who was sinless. But also in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. And in verse 12, it says, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Jesus' death set us apart, sanctified us by his blood. Now, this morning in class, we read some times when the priest became consecrated, that blood was used to do so. As a result, we become God's priest. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We are a group, not of a small part who are priests. All Christians are priests. And only priests were allowed to eat consecrated bread. Go look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 4. Now he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priest alone. And if you remember, those who ate the holy bread were holy. Go back and look at Leviticus one more time. Leviticus 16. Leviticus 16, verse 18. Leviticus 6, verse 18. Leviticus 6, and in verse 18. Every male among the sons of Aaron may eat it. It is a permanent ordinance throughout your generations, from the offerings by fire to the Lord. Whoever touches them will become consecrated, set apart. We use unleavened bread to remind ourselves that we're to be holy as well, just like our Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust which was yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And that is the bread that we're to eat in sincerity and truth. In 1 Corinthians 5, going back there again in verse 8, therefore let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, but with the nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Why is it that we use unleavened bread? Because of all the things that it represents to us. Is Christ's body? Is it his holiness? Is it lack of sin? Is the fact that we as God's priest, God's people, are to be holy ourselves? We remember that Christ freed us from our sins. It's not an arbitrary choice. It's intertwined in everything that God has set apart for us to do. And I hope you think about those things. There's a time for all of us to think about putting on Christ and becoming one of his children. If there's anyone who wishes to become a child of God, there's no better time than the opportunity we have today. For those of you who are children of God, would like the prayers of your brethren on behalf, we also give that opportunity. You may come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.